for holding. I'd like to inform all parties the call is being recorded. Any objections to disconnect? Thank you. You may begin.
Okay, wonderful. Let's begin with roll call, please.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's call, we have Greg Aron, Mikey O'Connor, Barry Cobb, George Kirikos, James Bledel, Jeff Newman, Richard Tindall, Faisal Shah, Rod Rasmussen, and we have a Robert. Apologies, I didn't get the surname. Robert? I'll get on with staff. We have Marika Konings, Margie Milam, Glenn de Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And as I said, there's a Robert who's joined the call, but I don't have his surname.
Hutchinson.
Hutchinson, thank you.
Bob Hutchinson. Okay. All right. And a few of you are on the phone, but not on MeetingView. If you can log into MeetingView from your location, that would be great, but it's not required. As always, want the transcripts to accurately reflect who's been speaking. So if you're not recognized by name, please identify yourself when you begin speaking. So thanks for joining us here at the end of the summer. What we're going to do today is a brief rundown of the work that our subgroups are doing, and then we're going to launch into new topics, specifically spam and phishing and malware. Let me ask just briefly if there's any other business. Hearing none, let's go ahead and with our cyber squatting group. Their action item was to be working on the wiki and tell us about ACPA. Has there been any progress in that group over the last 2 weeks?
Hey, this is James. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else from that group on the call.
I don't believe so.
Okay. I end up being the de facto spokesman regardless. But yes, it seems like we have had some exchanges on the list. I'm not sure if Mr. Rodenbaugh has submitted that to the wiki yet, but I think we have arrived at a definition of cyber squatting that is mostly comprised of the definition of that is contained within the UDRP. There are a couple of other elements that were borrowed from the ACPA that are fairly non-contentious elements in that they are already either considered as part of UDRP proceedings or like one having intentionally fraudulent or incomplete who is information is grounds for suspension. And I think that's fairly universally understood. So I will try to get that posted to the wiki if it has not already been done by Mike.
James, this is Mikey. I'm looking at the wiki, and there is quite a bit of stuff out there. Maybe that it made it.
Okay. And was it recent as of, say, like last Wednesday and Thursday?
Last Saturday, August 17th. George speaking.
Thanks, George. Yeah, I can't tell.
You click on revision, compare revisions, or...
Yeah, because this is Marika. I checked today and I didn't see anything change from the previous version we looked at. I can pull that up if people want to meet Obi Connect.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
yeah. Okay.
I tell you what, I will reach out to Mr. Rodenbaugh here today, and we will get this added to the wiki as quickly as possible.
George, I'd have to raise the same objections as last time that unless it's changed dramatically from what's on the wiki right now. It broadens the definition of cyber squatting way too much. You know, several of us here would be considered cyber squatters under that definition, which isn't the definition of law.
Yeah, and I not having both in front of me, George, this is James again, sorry. But not having both in front of me, I can't really tell the difference. I had a lot of those concerns going into this subject, George. But from what I can tell, we have essentially taken the UDRP definition as it currently reads and added a section relative to maintaining accurate and complete whois.
Okay, I'd have to see it to be able to comment.
Yeah, so I don't want to speak out of school here because I don't have those in front of me, but when we post it, if you could please just take a look, and then if you still have those concerns or if there's still gaps in the definition, if you could raise that on the list, that'd be great. Because I think you and I spoke, and I had a lot of the same concerns.
Okay.
Okay. So it sounds like we need to review what's on that wiki and make sure we understand what the latest is, and then we can have some further discussion about whether that needs modification.
Yeah, and Greg, this is James again. I just want to extend to the group my apologies. I wasn't aware that I was going to be the only member of that breakout group on this call. I certainly played a peripheral role in developing the definition, so I apologize that I'm not prepared to speak to it.
Well, okay. Appreciate it, but hardly any apologies necessary, I think. So,
it fell to me, and I didn't want there to be silence. So.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else on cyber squatting then? Sounds like we have some action items for work. Okay.
George, just a broader question. Are the people listed on the wiki still all members of the working group? Because I noticed a lot of people haven't shown up for several meetings in a row. And are they still engaged, or are they?
They well, let's see. Sporadically. I mean, the GNSO has no requirements for membership. Put it that way. No one has indicated they have dropped out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, amongst that list of folks. Okay. Next on the list then is uniformity in contracts. And Barry is helping lead that process, so I'd like to turn the floor over to him.
Hi, good morning. This is Barry. My apologies, I'm driving right now, so hopefully this will still come in clear, but I'll be pretty brief. We met again last week. We completed our second run of our research trying to build the picture build a picture of dispersion across contracts. We reviewed through the data. Basically, what we can say is a picture is starting to emerge. Certainly not formal yet, and for the most part, there are a couple of more questions and several decisions that need to be made about what to do with the data, how to clean it up a little bit more, and certainly what our actions are going to be after we've made some of those initial decisions about the research. So the team is, we're still moving forward with our work. I think it's still a good effort overall across the team. And we're going to meet again next week at the regularly scheduled time. I'll be sending out a doodle to get a schedule set up. And that's really about the only update we have. And James and Mikey, you're welcome to add to that as well. Thank you.
And this is James. I think that's a very concise and comprehensive synopsis.
Yeah, Mikey here, same. We are very engaged, but we need to polish off some things before we come back to the group with our results. So same here. Barry did a great job summarizing, and he's also doing a great job being our leader.
Okay, excellent. This is Greg. So at our next conference call, do you think your group will be ready to present a significant overview of what you propose and the questions that you've come up with and so forth? We're probably coming up on a time when we need to tell the group in more depth exactly what's going on and allow them to understand the shape of your project.
This is Barry. I would like to say yes, but I think there's some pretty hardcore decisions that we need to make as a group first before I can commit to anything. That's not all I can say. I would like to say yes, but I can't guarantee that we'll be able to share information by the next meeting or not. Certainly, between now and our next sub-team meeting, we will be trying to get together offline to wrestle some of the bigger decisions, but I believe it's going to require us another group to call to actually iron out some of these decisions before we can move forward.
At this point, what are some of those decisions that you're wrestling with?
The data itself, it touches on comparisons across the industry, so we need to make decisions about how that data should be shared. Should we slim it down to an anonymous form? There's data that's collected that is beyond the scope of the registration abuse, the uniformity of contracts sub-team and the registration abuse team for that matter as well. So probably need to trim some of that out of there as well, but it was necessary in terms of kind of creating an inventory, so to speak. Those are the main decisions that need to be made before we can share the information. Somewhat of a small preview about the picture that is emerging from about dispersion is that at least I think that it's kind of coming in line with what I anticipated. At the top tier, we see a lot more uniformity. In the middle and lower tiers, the dispersion seems to increase. But that's my interpretation of the data. That's not a collective group's at a loss for words. We as a team haven't collectively come up with what the actual results would be yet. So it's still up for interpretation.
Okay.
This is Mike.
All right. Go ahead, Mikey.
Just to elaborate a little bit, we are actually engaged in a very tasty conversation about a number of facets of this, and the reason we're dancing around it is because we had a really productive call last time, and at the end of the call, we all sort of came away saying, wow, we've got some pretty substantive issues that we need to think about, and the reason we're dancing a bit is because the way the data looks right now, it's probably not prudent to release it in the wild for several reasons, and we need to sort of digest all that one more time. So Barry is correct in being very cautious about whether we're going to be ready for the public unveiling at the next full working group call. I would second that. We may be ready, but I wouldn't want to peg us into the agenda with a hard commit right now because we've just got a lot of stuff to work through yet.
Okay. This is Greg. I guess my suggestion is once you guys have kind of talked about it internally and come up with a recommendation, then when you're ready to present this to the larger group, we'll need a kind of a summary of the big issues that you guys wrestled with.
That's very absolutely.
Why you're recommending what you're recommending. So we understand kind of the major issues and potential pitfalls, et cetera, et cetera.
This is Barry. We'll absolutely be, one of the deliverables out of this is to create a summary presentation and talk about the findings. And I just want to make it clear that we hadn't even started down the road of developing any recommendations or thoughts about what actions should be taken relative to the topic of uniformity. We are strictly still at the data level and in the research mode. I don't even think we've even remotely talked. The only question that's come up so far relative to any kind of recommendation is it important for us to be uniform or not? or should a minimum baseline be set? And outside of that, we haven't even started going down the road of details about formulating any recommendations or anything like that.
Oh, Barry, that was my impression as well. When I was talking about recommendation, I wasn't talking so much about policy recommendations or anything like that. I was talking more about your recommendations for how the research should be conducted and what should be included in it.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Okay, any other thoughts on that work underway? Don't see any hands. So it sounds like, you know, you guys are making some good progress. Thanks again for your diligence on this and the meetings that you've been having. Much appreciated. Good to see work progressing so nicely on this. Okay, nothing else on that topic. We move on to malware and botnet control. That's Rod and myself. I've been working a little bit on the wiki on and off. We're not at a point where we have any recommendations or anything like that either. Rod, do you have anything to add right now?
Yeah, I put in a little time on that too, Greg, and just tried to work on some definitional stuff to differentiate between the command control rendezvous things and the next area of topics, which are more of, you know, large-scale registrations of domain names in order to support malware drops and things like that. So kind of tried to separate the issues. That's about it.
Okay,
and that's been updated on the wiki as well.
Okay, so some progress there. Any questions on this topic from anybody? Okay. Not seeing any hands. Next is front running, and George is point on this topic. So George, over to you.
George here. Well, we had a good discussion last time. We have some people here today that weren't here last time, so maybe they have a chance to discuss. Basically, since last call, we've had the question answered by the Ben Aylman with response to some of the topics that were raised on the mailing list. And some additional questions were asked, but we haven't received responses from those, at least yet. I did update the wiki to reflect the conversation during the last conference call and all discussion up until last night. So I guess I'll leave it to the group to see where we want to go from here.
Okay. I see Marika's hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that the follow-up questions that were sent in following the feedback received from Ben Edelman were forwarded to him, and I hope to get some further feedback from him again shortly. And as soon as I do, I'll, of course, post that to the mailing list.
Thank you. Okay, so George, anything else you'd like to report so far?
Oh, I did add a section on. Let me send the link to the page to the chat room. I did add a section about who's harmed by front running. That's a topic that Greg raised during the last call, and I did add a section about the cart hold that James Bledel had raised last time. And other than that, do folks prefer that people start going over the issue background recommendations level consensus now, or do we wait till we make a first pass through all the topics and then make like a second pass later? Or I'm not sure on the process what should be done on the wiki as opposed to waiting for further discussions amongst the group.
Okay, James has raised his hand.
Yes, this is James, and a question for George, Greg, and the rest of the group. I mean, based on all the information that we have collected, and in light of some of the quantified reports, I mean, do we still believe that this is an actual documentable abuse. What I mean by that is that, you know, this is, I was joking a little bit with George that this was kind of like the Loch Ness Monster of abuse types. Is everyone is convinced that it's happening, but yet no one can really demonstrate that it is. And then as a registrar, I mean, it's one of those things where we're convinced that all the other registrars are doing it, but we know that we're not. And I think that if you ask all the other registrars, they'll answer similarly. So I guess I am still skeptical that this is happening. On a wide-scale basis, I understand we've got some isolated cases with malware. We had some different service attempts that kind of went off the rails and treaded into this. But in conjunction with the modified policy relative to the AGP, I'm still not convinced that this exists. And if I'm premature in saying that, Greg, I apologize.
I raised my own hand. This is Greg. I guess factually it would be safe to say that front running has happened in the past because it was documented with the network solutions thing. The new add grace period limits policy has certainly changed the landscape of what's happened. And it would make probably certain kinds of front running no longer palatable or profitable, perhaps. It's unclear at this point whether it's actually happening or not. I say that because I haven't seen any documentation that would demonstrate real front running. I think the Edelman report, I think there's some questions that I have about the methodology used there. So we're waiting for some replies. I guess maybe one question is it's, despite whether we've seen any attempts recently or not, is it still an abuse that we should be concerned about? So, James, you had raised your hand.
Well, I think that's exactly right. I mean, if it is a theoretical abuse or a vulnerability, let's say, that has not been exploited successfully since, we can point to a few isolated incidents, and I think that if we had representatives from those folks here, they would say that they were using a technique to combat tasting that looked like abuse, right? So I think there's more complexity even to the examples that we pointed to as instances that this does exist. I just want to make sure that we're not spending a whole lot of time and resources on something that isn't quantified as something that is definitely occurring, is definitely causing harm. Again, I think it's something that is plausible, but I just, I think that, the Hippocratic Oath of policy development is make sure that you're first not hurting something. And if this is a wild goose chase, I just want to make sure that we're focusing our time and efforts on the things that are definitely occurring and causing harm today.
Okay. So, by the way, this is Greg. I think we had an interruption in the Adobe Connect. At least I did. So I can't manipulate it right now. Is anybody else having any trouble?
Looks fine here. George here.
Yeah, Mikey here. It's okay for me.
Maybe it's just my connection. Okay, so I saw James's hand, and then Mikey had raised his hand. You want to go ahead, Mikey?
Yeah, I want to lobby for the sort of a middle position. I'm not quite ready to give this one up yet, partly because of the methods, and that's why I stuck my hand up and then took it down. Sort of to amplify your point, Greg, that there are concerns, at least in my mind, about the methodology in the Edelman report. I'd like to see more of how that was done, and I'm not sure that, you know, we're sort of in a prove a negative problem. But I think that the other way to run at this is to acknowledge that it is indeed a vulnerability. There's certainly lots of anecdotal evidence floating around out on the net of folks who've run into this. And so, you know, I'm not adamant, but I do think that this is worthy of more work before we let it go.
Okay. I see Jeff Newman's hand.
Hey, hello, this is Jeff. Just a question. So the way the definition is in the chart is a lot more narrow than the way it is reflected in the conversations that we've had, and I think George accurately reflected the transcripts of what we've been talking about, and I apologize for missing the last call. But so the question I have is, are we talking specifically about front-running by a registrar when a registrant checks the availability of a name, or when you guys are talking about is there really an issue, all of the other things that are brought up in this document, things about use of traffic data and others, and traffic data would refer to an unregistered name. George has documented everything. I just want to make sure we are clear on what specifically we're talking about, because I see there, you know, three or four or even more issues in this, in the transcripts.
Okay. Next is George.
George here. Looking at the document, it seems to be the same as the original definitions back when this document was first produced in March or June or whenever. So it doesn't reflect the latest definitions, which was basically taken from the ESAC report. So I'm not sure whether we should be limiting it to just that or whether it should be limited to the broader issues that were raised in this working group and also in the past research.
Right. So this is Jeff again. So then we need to make decisions on, you know, and I'm not saying one way or the other at this point. I mean, well, you know my view on using traffic data for unregistered names. I don't think that that's an issue we should focus on. But, I mean, I do think as a group we need to decide what we are and what we're not focusing on, what we are and are not calling front-running.
George, here, I agree. And just to go back to the past discussion by James and Mikey and Greg, I think empirically and statistically we don't have a large amount of front-running taking place right now, despite the, you know, the research and anecdotes. I think the scale has fallen due to the new AGP limit rules. But I don't know whether we want to consider that independently or not, because if those AGP limit rules are ever changed, then you suddenly bring up the topic of front-running again in the future. I don't know whether people want to be preemptive about discussing the theoretical attacks that are possible, because right now I don't consider the theoretical attacks to be, you know, mostly by the registrars anymore. It's probably at the registry level, and if it's for registrars, it's probably for sunrise periods and land rushes, not for, like, mature TLDs like .com. And so if the policies are to be preemptive, they should, you know, take into account some of the possible recommendations that I made, which are things like, you know, better education and disclosures and you know, providing, having the registries produce lists of all registered domains, which allows more, you know, paranoid local domain checking instead of querying the registry. So that, you know, at least allows people to thwart the possible use of data by the registry, since they wouldn't have it to begin with. And the last part, I guess, about traffic data is something that obviously the registry constituency might have problems with.
Well, who's, George, this is Greg, who's harmed by front-running?
Well, I added that section. It would be, I guess, lower-cost registrars, because if higher-cost registrars are doing things like cart holds, then that allows the, and that prevents comparison shopping. So it means that the name is stuck at, for example, a network solution at $35 a year instead of GoDaddy at $7 a year if the card hold is put on by a higher cost registrar. Also, other registrants are harmed if a name is held back from the pool of available names for some temporary period. And I guess more generally, it's people that create new ideas and for a domain name and have their name supposedly taken by somebody else. The question is whether that they had a real right to that domain name in the first place. To the extent that that domain name was novel, they might consider that you know, they had a presumptive right to it for a few seconds.
My recollection of the FSAC report was that they focused on front-running by registrars because there was basically an expectation of trust
right.
between the two parties. You were basically trusting the registrar not to take the domain that you were inquiring about or interested in, basically, or have somebody else take it based upon your interaction with the registrar. So is that one way of focusing on the issue?
It's not necessarily just the registrars, because the act of checking leaks information to multiple third parties, either the registry or also the you know all the name spinning tools and analytics checking like Google Analytics, you know, Omniture, all the other potential areas that the name could be exposed to if registrars aren't designing front end properly to minimize that information leakage. So the registrars are typically the front end to it, but other people do have access to the data, including the registries. And I guess ICANN can only regulate the registrars and registries. So to that extent, there's only two targets of any policy.
Right, but that's where the problem lies, right? Because, sorry, this is Jeff. The problem is that registries have even less data than ISPs have on unregistered names. And if you're only going to regulate the registries and registrars simply because that's who you have contracts with, then that kind of makes you're basically unfairly targeting one sort of group just because you can. And really, most of the problem with unregistered names, or I don't even say it's a problem, but most of the monitoring of unregistered names actually happens at an ISP level.
George here. Well, you're taking one view of what that insider information is, that the information is the DNS check, the traffic hitting the zone file, or sorry, hitting the TLDs, root operators, the TLD operators, name servers, or the ISP's name servers, but there could be other data. Like, for example, if I did a registration of example.biz and Mustar figures that that's a great name, and they also are the manager for .shop, they might register example.shop preemptively. That could be like a form of, you know, correlated front-running that, you know, 30% of people might, you know, also want the .shop, so they'll grab it instantaneously, or, you know, they might raise the price of that domain name, noticing the increased demand for that string. So that's the kind of thing that they're probably not sophisticated enough to be doing yet, but we have to, I guess, decide as a group whether we want to have a policy to preemptively prevent that.
This is Mikey. It just seems to me that we're not quite ready to drop this one yet. I think at a minimum what we would want to do is have this conversation documented in our final report a little bit more than it is right now. And I guess that's where I'm at, is I'm just not quite ready to let this one go.
Okay. I see James's hand.
And Mikey, understand that position, but I would also say that prior to sending this as a part of that documentation of this conversation, I just want to make sure that when we send this on to potential future work and policy development, I mean, in order to correct this issue or to offer remedies, we need to really understand where it's happening, how it's happening, and the mechanics of, you know, front-running. And I think that in the absence of that, we're probably doing a lot more harm than good.
This is Mikey again. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I am very uncomfortable with the data that we're working on right now. It seems thin to me.
Okay.
This is Greg. Oh, I'm sorry. Jeff, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, if this issue does make its way into a report, I still don't like the issue of traffic to be grouped in with front running because I don't see it fitting into the definitions. If you want to call it out as something separate, we could discuss that, but I just don't like calling that front running. I don't think it meets the definition that the SAC actually set forth. And I think it's a negative, it's an automatic negative connotation on that activity.
Okay. One of the places that the work can take place on is the wiki. George has filled in the template with some material and summaries of previous conversations. My question to the group is, does somebody want to also start adding or editing the wiki as a way of moving the work forward? It's a wiki because anybody can work on it. So if you want to have a viewpoint crystallized, I think that's one of the places we can do it. Then it's in writing. People can absorb it, and we have material for the report. So I'm going to just throw that out there. If you feel strongly one way or the other or think that there's something that needs to be reflected in the report, then that's a place to put it. George
here, or people can send it to the mailing list because I've been collating all the views. So those aren't just my own views on the mailing list. I link to the original mailing list discussions or link to the transcripts where possible. So if people if people have raised it on this call, for example, I would reflect it in the next version of the wiki.
This is Mikey. Part of the problem that I'm facing is just in data, and I don't really know how to solve that problem.
George, I agree that empirically it's more of a theoretical attack, so in terms of prioritizing the work, it might be, giving it, more than a proportionate amount of time, given the current level of abuse. But that's not to say that, it wouldn't be higher in the future. So I guess as a group, people need to decide whether they want to make it a priority or not.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts on this topic? I'm wondering if we can take some work to the wiki and move on to new topics today.
So Greg, this is Jeff. Sorry. How do we update the wiki then? So my comment saying that we should take the whole subject of traffic out of the concept of front running. How do I reflect that in, other than making the comment in this document? How do you actually end up doing something like that? Because that's
okay. What George has done on this wiki is he's got different subject headers, which kind of summarize points that have been discussed. I suppose one, if there's not a subject header that addresses your issue, I suppose one thing to do would be to create one.
George, here, it might
or
go
provide,
into...
I'm sorry, or provide... a proposed alternate scope or definition in the near the top in the references section. Go ahead, George.
I was going to say that one can add more points under the definition section. Like right now I have three points under definitions of front running. if one wants to, you know, refine what the definition of that insider information is, and that's a possible route. I was going to add it anyway based on the transcript of this call. So.
Yeah,
Greg wants to add it directly. He just needs to log into the wiki. I think anybody that's logged in can edit.
Yeah, and this is Jeff. I mean, I think about doing that. Again, this is all under the topic of domain front running. So, I mean, I guess I'm just thinking logistically here. I don't have a problem with the definition that's in the chart. Maybe it is a definition of insider information. But I mean, it would be its own. It would be a topic in and to itself. The use of traffic data.
This is Mikey. One approach to this might be to start a section on the wiki that just talks about definition and scope, or scope of the definition, something like that, and lay in the universe of possible things to be included in the definition, and then group them as to ones that we're going to consider and ones that we're not, or something like that.
George here. Actually, if you people scroll down on that page on the front running on the wiki, it actually has a section already. Is traffic data for unregistered names in scope? No. And then it has a section from Jeff Newman. Yes. Then it has a section from Roland Perry. And so I think we have covered it. This is in the actual wiki, not the...
This is Mikey. That goes on the never mind.
Yes. Oh, actually, there it is.
Sorry.
Okay, so everybody good on working on the wiki?
Yeah, this is Richard. I just wanted to make a quick comment.
Please.
Yeah, so I sort of agree with Jeff. I think that just sort of in a blanket way, suggesting that registries or registrars collecting information about their customers is inherently a bad thing. I don't endorse that viewpoint. I think if they're collecting information and using it in inappropriate or harmful ways, then I think maybe that finds its way into our scope, but just a general approach that anyone collecting any sort of data about their customers is bad, I don't support that viewpoint.
Okay. Anyone else? Call for last comments on this topic, and then we're going to move on to new business. Okay, so I'm not seeing anyone's hand raised. Action item is for folks to work on this front-running wiki, and it will come up for discussion in future meetings, of course. Okay, I see Richard's hand and George's hand.
That was from before for me.
Okay. George, I just want to say that if people are adding the wiki, please be careful about deleting existing text. Like, it's good to just, you know, add paragraphs, but not to delete any of the existing material. That makes it easier to track changes.
Yes. Okay, good. Okay. All right, so if we're good there, we should move on to our next topics and open up the issues of basically spam, phishing, and malware. I saw a note from Gisela about a meeting for that group, which was tentatively scheduled for Wednesday. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I was on vacation, so not checking my email very much last week. I'm a subject expert in these areas, so I'd like to be involved. The only problem is I have a management retreat on Wednesday. I wouldn't be able to join the meeting.
This is Mikey. I have a newly refurbished boat, and that particular day would be perfect for testing it, so I would lobby for rescheduling that meeting.
I would like to go on that boat.
Anybody is welcome.
Well, we can set up a new doodle to find a time, maybe later this week or beginning of next week.
Yeah, I don't want to inconvenience anyone, but It's a topic I do a lot of work on professionally.
I think, James, were you on that group as well? Correct. I just need to check who signed up so to make sure to inform people, and we'll send out a new doodle then to find a time for that group.
Yeah, I don't think I was on that one. Certainly possible that I'm misremembering it.
Okay. Gisela, would you be able to put out a new doodle on that one? And well, and we haven't gotten
sorry,
any.
Sorry about that. I've just come on the call. I was on mute.
Yeah, one of the questions is whether we can you go ahead and do a doodle to reschedule that meeting. I guess actually we have not really broached these topics formally yet. So we're all, I assume, pretty familiar with scam and phishing and malware. But just to run over the definitions very briefly, spam is traditionally defined as bulk unsolicited email. One standard definition. Phishing is something I hope everyone's familiar with, but it's an attempt to collect a person's personal information, especially credit card or bank information, by putting up a website which purports to be something other than what it is. Usually those sites mimic banks, well-known websites, or financial services. Malware is pretty big topic, but basically it's distributing harmful code without the recipient being aware of it, and that code can do many, many different kinds of things. It can rope people's computers into a botnet. It can steal personal information. It can take control of computers and have them execute actions without the user's knowledge and many other things. So the very first question is, what are the scope issues associated with these topics? I'll throw one out, which is these are activities that malicious parties do after they've registered a domain name. So one question I have is, are they in scope for policymaking at all? I'll throw that out there. I see James and Mikey. So James, you want to go first?
Actually, the order is reversed. Mikey was in the queue.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Mikey.
This is Mikey. I share that scope concern. I think that to the extent that domain name is, you know, once we're out of the registration of a domain name period, I think the activity falls out of scope. And so much like the botnet discussion, maybe, if there are activities that happen during the registration cycle, I think those are in scope, but the activities themselves mostly happen independently of registration, and I would support the view that they're outside the scope of this group.
Oops, okay, thank you. I guess James is next.
Yes, I wanted to echo a lot of what Mikey said and even to take us back to our workshop in Sydney where we discussed some of the aspects of intent. And I think that what we would need to do, we need to bear in mind that while no one is certainly taking the position that we should do nothing to address these issues, they are problems, they are harming folks,
but anything that would be ripe for ICANN policy development would have to be able to discern at time of registration which domains were registered for the purposes of spam phishing and botnets and malware, and which ones were not. And I think I'm yet to be convinced that that is even possible. So I think that once we get into use, as Mikey said, we certainly can have some different collaborative approaches. There are a lot of cross stakeholder efforts underway right now that include registries, registrars, security groups, IP concerns, and all these folks are working very, very hard on these issues. But I think that trying to address them or come up with remedies within the context of policymaking requires us to be able to tell in advance what the domain will be used for. So I just wanted to get that out on the record and echo a lot of what Mikey said.
Okay. I think next was George.
I just want to agree with the former speaker that I don't think it's in scope. Oh, I'll be brief that way.
Okay. Anyone else like to chime in?
This is Rod. I'm not on Adobe Connect at the moment. If any of you have a Mac and are updating the Snow Leopard, it has a lot of surprises at the end if you've got a lot of mail in your mailbox. So just a word to the wise. I have to disagree a bit with some of my colleagues there. I could tell when some domains are going to be used for phishing, malware, et cetera, before they actually get used and then during the registration process based on who's registering them, how they're registering them, and name servers are using, things like that. So it's certainly possible to know that, yes, these are being registered by criminals. They usually do them in large swaths. They usually do them, or they can do them either one of two ways, with cooperation or semi-cooperation of a registrar agent, typically a reseller, or using stolen credentials. So that is a registration process abuse, I would say. If you're using, at least you're using stolen credentials, is abusing the registration process. So I think parts of this are definitely in scope, at least for discussion purposes.
Okay. Thank you. I see George's hand raised.
I think the topic of Minority Report and pre-crime was brought up on past calls. I think this is an example. If you can read the minds of people and know what they're going to do with the domain name before they register it, that's pretty amazing. Well, statistically, you can do it, but I think you can't do it with 100% error-free operation. So that's something I just wanted to toss out there.
I suggest that 99.999999% is pretty close.
Yeah, this is Mikey. I'd like to chime in supporting Rod on this one, actually. I want to make the distinction between kinds of behavior that Rod's describing and the broader, what I think is out of scope. That can put a caveat in. And George, I think you're hitting on it too. We can figure out a reliable way. 99. Good. And some sort of mechanism to remedy the mistakes. I think that is in support that.
Okay. Okay, I still see George's and James's hands raised. Are those new or old?
This is new, and just wanted to say that, Rod, I think that we can come up with a very good indication of how a domain will be used, but we can never know specifically, because that implies future intent. And I think that this goes to drawing a line between policy development and work in terms of security practices, security efforts, monitoring and suspension and takedown and all those other activities that we all know that we work very hard on, but to address those things. But But when you actually get into trying to predict and intercept those registrations ahead of time, I think that becomes a little bit more of a challenge.
Okay. I see George's hand raised.
Yeah, what I see is it's really an attempt to mix together ex ante and ex post. Personally, I'm not against any policy that strengthens registration, you know, forcing people to better prove their credentials, et cetera, because I think ex ante, that reduces the amount of abuse. But I don't like to see rules in place that people could point to ex post saying, you know, this was a registration abuse when it wasn't, because they'll be able to look at future behavior, and then at that future date say, oh, ex ante, we knew that was an abuse, and so, you know, you're an abuser, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're caught by the policy, whereas it really should be directed to law enforcement or other mechanism, you know, civil lawsuits, et cetera, instead of being done at the registry level. Because people could say, for example, you know, I knew you were going to use that domain example.com to infringe upon, you know, the trademark of example. This doesn't go into botnet, but this ex ante versus ex post, you can't just, you know, mix them up and, you know, wave your hand magically to call something an abuse. I think that'll tend to be abused by the people. And actually, if people are going to be 99.9% accurate, there should be severe penalties when they're wrong. And if people actually are as accurate as they claim to be, they would be able to have insurance policies, which are very, very inexpensive. But I think in reality, their insurance policies would be really high because the rate of false positives would be higher than they say they are.
Okay. Mike O'Connor?
Yeah, this is Mikey. I actually think this is a very cool discussion. I agree with all of it. Rod, I think that to the extent that there are mechanisms that can come up with 5-9 reliability in predicting use, those would be. But I also agree with George and James on. I'm thinking that this is a useful conversation that needs to be continued, not simply parked as out of scope, a piece that's in scope.
This is Greg. So which part might be in scope?
This is Mikey again. The part that covered by an extremely accurate prediction of intent. So it get, you know, should the James and George raise that possible? I think that if the answer is yes, it is, high accuracy and reliability, that those are in scope. That is creation rather than domain name, broader category.
Mikey, you're fading in and out a little bit.
Dang, all the good stuff fades out. Let me try that again.
I lost the last sentence there.
So the broader, I think that the sword of Damocles on this for me is it abuse at registration time, or is it abuse later, i.e. domain name abuse? I think domain name abuse is outside our scope. But if there's an ability to accurately predict or accurately assess that the registration process is where the abuse is occurring, that is in scope for us. And, I guess the hard part is this accurate prediction. Because I agree with George that, you know, if we have a lot of false positives, then that's not helpful at all to the community.
Okay.
We
This is Rock, and I'd like to point out that registries and registrars are already doing this. It's just not on any kind of a formal and controlled basis, I would say. I know for a fact that many registries and registrars delete massive numbers of domain registrations that have never been used for phishing, malware, etc., when they discover that the person or organization or what have you that has registered them is actually using, at least in part, some of their domains for those purposes. So it's already being done. I guess one of the things we need to consider is whether or not we want to codify how that gets done across the entire spectrum of, you know, ICANN-regulated registrars, or ICANN-involved registrars. I guess ICANN isn't a regulator. But it is being done already as a matter of business practice.
This is Greg. And although, Rod, is that being done because those registrants have already broken terms of service by using their domain names?
Most likely.
In other words, have these registrars and registries sometimes identified bad actors?
Yes. And then as new registrations come in from those registrants, whether it's the registrant or the configuration of how they're setting up their domain registrations at the time they're trying to register them, they're immediately suspended or deleted or blocked.
I see James's hand raised.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right, Rod. And I'll say for the record that we're very aggressive at rooting out this type of abuse. But I think that it is important that we recognize that ICANN policy will inject uniformity into an area where I think flexibility is often required. It will possibly tie the hands of registries and registrars and reduce or limit their options as far as how they can or cannot act in those situations, and it will impede different data collection efforts that will help us uncover new types of abuses before they can be fully understood and policy developed against those. So I really feel that it's important that we keep some degree of latitude in the registry and registrar's ability to monitor, track, and interdict these types of abuses that is not necessarily the most or more appropriately done via ICANN policy.
I certainly agree with that. I think that is part of what a discussion should involve, is that you're probably going into an area where you'd want to recommend best practices rather than policy. But I still think the discussion should happen so we can help quantify the issues and hopefully get some of the people who aren't doing these things to be able to participate.
This is Mikey. I think that we may be right at the nub of the discussion for the working group. I agree, with both points of view. I think it's important to leave the registries and registrars the flexibility to innovate, but at the same time introduce some either minimum standards or best practices or something to broaden the base of behavior, because what we're starting to see as a pattern is that the very engaged registries and registrars in ICANN are the best practices practitioners, and what we need to do is figure out a mechanism to broaden those practices outward.
Okay. I see George's hand raised.
Oh, yeah. I just want to talk a little bit about the notion of bad actors and how, they shouldn't be allowed to register names anymore. That's really going into a dangerous area. Let me give a counterexample. In the UK, there's lobbying right now that if people violate copyright, for downloading of music, et cetera, downloading copyrighted material, that, they'd be unable to to access the Internet entirely. And countries are obviously able to make their own laws. But for ICANN to be doing it and allowing registries and registrars to be interpreting that, I think that's a dangerous area. Like, I think we can do things like accurate WHOIS policy, and then if on a civil basis or a criminal basis, it's some court determines that, you know, Acme Inc. is no longer, you know, is defined as a bad actor and can no longer register domain names for a period of 5 years. Let's say that they're bound by some criminal decision or some court decision. Then, you know, after that point, you could say, you know, oh, we've seen them, you know, 2 years later register a domain name. They're guilty of violating, you know, the court sanctions. You know, delete the domain name. But to preemptively, you know, have an ICANN policy that goes into these areas, I think, is really, you know, totally out of scope.
Okay. And this is Craig. I think what Rod and I touched on was, you know, some registrant goes to a registrar and, you know, get some domain names and starts using them to, you know, host malware and stuff. And what happens at that point is the registrar says, I don't want this person as a customer anymore, and may close their account and not and refuse to deal with them anymore, which I think is a very reasonable thing to do. There's no requirement that a registrar be required to take on any given registrant. I think that's their business decision.
Right, but that's supposedly happening at the registry level. George here. At registry level, too, one doesn't want to have, for example, VeriSign deciding who they want as a client, because, you know, obviously they would delete my 500 domain names first. there needs to be, you know, clear rules on what they can and can't do. I could see, you know, them, you know, suggesting, oh, you know, we don't want you as a client, but we're going to, you know, to do that, we're going to make sure that you have accurate WHOIS, and because you've been proven to be operating a botnet, you know, we're going to send the police to your door. That would be the proper, you know, due process, because even criminals are entitled to that due process. And indeed, that should be the right way to get rid of them, rather than just having the registry, you know, do in a high-handed manner. You know, you're an abuser, so we're going to delete all your domain names. You could see, you know, where that road could lead to.
Yeah. I'm not actually aware that any ICANN registry has ever done such a thing.
Oh, right, because they're not allowed to, or they would face major lawsuits if they did.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an activity or that actually has ever taken place. I mean, everyday mitigation takes place every day at registrars. You know, somebody says, you know, this registrant's doing something bad, and the registrar looks into it and then makes a determination based upon their terms of service. And then they may decide to do something, you know, suspend a domain name or something like that. That's the kind of activity that takes place every day and has been for many, many years, and that's based upon the contract that the registrar has with the registrant. Okay. Comments from anyone else? I'll add something. This is Greg. And I'm actually still wrestling myself with this issue of intent, because I don't know if that's the proper measure even. Intent is how you're going to use the domain name, what you're going to do with it. I think one scope issue is that, again, in the issues report, we saw the ICANN Council say that use issues are outside ICANN scope. I don't know if we could, if you said, well, you've got a repeat offender who's using domains for bad things, even then I still don't know if ICANN could reasonably, within scope, say something must be done about that. But I think that's an issue that needs to be wrestled with. And I don't know if intent is the right measure to wrap a policy discussion around. So, where does this leave us? We're trying to fill out the bounds of the policy and scope. Mikey?
This is Mikey. One approach may be to delineate some of the current best practices. This is kind of throwing the ball back to those of you who are real smart about this stuff. And once we understand the current best practices, take a look at those as the basis for some sort of a minimum standard. You know, this may be sort of like pornography. This may be I'll know it when I see it kind of stuff rather than intent. I think intent is very tricky. But maybe there are best practices that are out there now that we can agree are at least to be recommended and perhaps even going so far as to drive them into policy.
Jane?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that one of the other pitfalls of this approach is that a lot of these abuses are conducted through the hijacking or compromising of legitimate domains. And so we should recognize, for example, that that sort of throws the intent issue out the window in that any domain registration could be compromised for these purposes. And if that were the case, then does the legitimate registrant under some hypothetical policy, is the legitimate registrant blocked from future registration? So I see a lot of trouble when we start to put any type of pre-screening or pre-authorization onto the registration process. And therefore, I think that this is something we should tread very carefully in. And in fact, I would advocate avoid altogether. Going to an earlier point that was made about best practices, the concern would be that registrars that have very effective best practices or internal business processes in place would abandon those and simply stick by the minimum that is required by the policy, any ICANN policy that would come out of this. And then you could even see bad actors hiding behind the policy, or at least their interpretation of it. So I feel that taking what is something, I feel that making this a realm of ICANN policy will only worsen this particular issue.
Thank you. This is Greg. James brings up an important operational or functional point, which is about compromised domains. With malware, most of the domains that have malware on them actually are infected or compromised, and that means the registrant isn't aware of it and not responsible for it. With phishing, 80% of phishing domains are compromised or hacked. Again, the registrants are not aware of it. And with spam, a lot of spam is sent out of botnets. So the nodes and computers that mail is sent from, they're infected. The registrants probably aren't aware. And then sometimes email headers are faked and people don't know actually which domain the mail is actually sent from. You have to be able to open up a mail header and actually understand what's going on. And that's an issue. So I think that's an important issue to wrestle with. I also have a question for Mikey. Mikey, you said on one hand best practices are something we should look at because we want to get the entire community engaged in dealing with spam and phishing and malware. I encourage that. I want more registrars to think about their procedures and those kinds of things. But you also said then some best practices could be adopted as policy. And I'd like you to tell us more about that idea, because dealing with these issues might be out of ICANN scope. So if there was a best practice that a registrar had for dealing with spam, for example, what's in and are out of scope? And we come back to the same problem again, don't we?
This is Mikey. Yes, I think that's right. I think that where I was headed with this is you know, there's kind of a sliding scale. There's kind of the current situation, which is where the best practitioners are innovating and working hard and acting aggressively and doing a bunch of stuff, but there's not much cross-pollination. There's not much advice about that. It happens informally. Then there's sort of a middle zone that says, ICANN, as the convener of a community, encourages the dissemination of those best practices more broadly, but doesn't impose them on anybody. And then there's sort of the highest level, which is that maybe some of those pass the litmus test of being in ICANN scope, being appropriate, et cetera, and perhaps graduate to becoming policy. My thought is that to the extent that ICANN can improve the community in its convening role, that's a good thing. That I'm certainly not dismissing the points that others are raising about like James's point that says if we impose a minimum, then that drops the level of activity. I certainly wouldn't want to see that. But at the same time, I would like to have more than silence, I guess, on this, because I think it's important, and I think it's that ICANN is really the only community where this conversation can take place. So that's a long-winded answer to saying, no, I don't really want to see a lot of things in policy necessarily, but I also don't want to see silence. Now, I also wanted to run back to your point, or the point that was made earlier about compromised domains, and agree with everybody that the abuse of compromised domains, I think, is out of scope of this working group. I would fully support that. I'll just tag that on the end.
Thank you, Mike. Sorry, I was on hold. I see several folks' hands raised. I see Margie's hand.
Hi. I wanted to clarify. We seem to be taking a very narrow view of scope, and I just wanted to remind the group that we've had several presentations on scope, and when you're talking about what's within ICANN scope, are you talking about whether you can adopt an enforceable consensus policy? Because that's one issue. But in terms of what's within GNSO scope, the GNSO scope as described in the bylaws is fairly broad. Dealing with does it apply to generic top level domains as an example? So I think we don't need to be so restrictive. It may ultimately impact what the end result is if we're attempting to adopt policy that's binding on on a contracted party, for example. You'd have to look at the contract. But if you're talking about best practices and and the topic relates to GTLDs, there may be more room for things like best practices or other types of policy work.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. I see. I'm just going to take these in order. I see George, Mikey, and James. So, George, you want to go first?
Yeah. The discussion about spam kind of caused me to think a little bit more about best practices and how you kind of differentiate intent at the beginning. If we look at, for example, the sources of spam, one of the big sources of spam is Gmail and Yahoo and Hotmail themselves. And if you take a look at how they actually allow people to register accounts, that might be educational to this work group. Their best practice appears to be anybody who can pass a CAPTCHA, it's a computer automated test basically to test that you're a human. If you can pass that, then you can register an account, irregardless of whether you've committed abuse in the past, irregardless of your IP address for the most part. if you can pass that CAPTCHA, you can register an account. And then any deletion or abuse that takes place afterwards is dealt with. And so, you know, these are huge domains with hundreds of millions of users, and the amount of abuse that comes out of them is substantial, but relative to their size is not substantial. And that might be the same case for, you know, domain abuse in general. While there is a large amount of abuse that takes place, relative to the amount of non-abuse that takes place, perhaps, you know, the best practices need to take into account that relative balance. I just want to toss that out.
Okay. Thank you, George. Mikey is next.
This is sort of in response to Margie's comment. I think we need to distinguish between ICANN scope and the scope issue of this particular working group. I'm mostly narrowing the scope of this working group for fear that we'll otherwise bite off a task that's too big to complete. So I just wanted to zero in a little bit on that, that most of my comments aren't about ICANN scope at all. They're really just about the scope of this working group.
Okay. And James?
Yes, and my response is also to Margie's points relative to scope, and I just wanted to point out that in my perspective, that when we start talking about different types of spam, phishing, and malware, we're encroaching a little bit on use and content. And therefore, I think it's a little dangerous to start trying to put policy around those activities because they could be expanded into other areas of use and content. And I think that, you know, if they were completely and wholly contained within the process of provisioning and registering domain names, that would be a little more clear-cut. But since they involve elements of how a domain is used, I think that's where the red flags, at least for me, start to go up as far as scope.
Okay. Anyone else?
Ms. Rod, I'd just like to comment on a lot of the concepts have come up here, and I'd just like to say the discussion here kind of proves that we need to talk about it more. But beyond that, I want to make sure people aren't misconstruing my desire to tackle these issues as a way of sneaking in getting registration or getting this as a taking on the entire issue through the registration abuse policy group. I really want to focus on those areas that are an abuse of the registration process itself. So that is, you know, and I think there's two very germane areas there, and that's one is the use of credentials, stolen credentials, et cetera, and that comes back to verification of users. There's plenty of good examples in the real world where policy gets set by a group. Let's say it's the banking industry saying you must know your customer before you can assign an account, that kind of thing. Then the other area is systemic abuse by typically resellers. Again, this is an area that's probably a policy area as far as how registrars deal with their various agents. Now, that may or may not need some sort of modification. But again, those are the two areas I see as being very germane to this group. The use of the broad scale use of domain names for phishing and malware and all that is kind of that touches on lots of areas that I think are outside of the scope of this working group. So I'm not trying to say that we should take this all on, but really focus on those areas where we can actually have some leverage in the process. And absolutely, I think that the compromised domain issue is a big one. I think that we do have a problem where people are suspending domain names that are innocent. So I would argue that one of the things we can do is help clarify those issues so that people aren't doing that. But that may very well fall outside the scope of this group because that is a usage issue largely if you're suspending something based on what is already done. So those are my comments.
Okay. Thank you, Rod. We are coming up at the end of our meeting time, about 28 after. So this has been a dive into the issue. I think it's been really constructive. Sounds like we're still feeling out kind of what the issues are here. And so I would propose two things. One is continue this conversation in the next call for sure. Now, we have scheduled an offline conversation for a subgroup of people. What's going to be the purpose of that call? Is it to continue this discussion? I mean, or should we have this continue this discussion in the larger group? So, I'd forgotten or didn't know that there was going to be a subgroup call arranged. So my question is, what's the purpose of that call, and what's the agenda? Or should we continue this conversation amongst the larger group?
This is Mikey. As another member of that call, I think that given I was participating in the call with sort of the same point of view that you were, Greg. I couldn't remember why we were getting on the call, but I felt like I was being a good scout. So why don't we, unless somebody can more accurately remember, why don't we just have this continue in the large group for now and postpone that subgroup formation?
Is that suggestion okay with the other folks? It's okay with me. I think we're still, as a bigger group, wrestling with the major scope issues that these problems present to us. Any objections holding off on that subgroup call? Hearing none. Let's hold off on having that call, and let's continue to put spam phishing malware on the top of the agenda for the next working group meeting. Marika, we'll definitely need a wiki for this topic. Do we already have one?
Yes, we do, I think, in a similar format as the other ones.
Okay, awesome. Okay, that'll be ready when we need it then. Mikey?
I guess my thought was that it would be very neat if somebody could sketch out the outlines of the conversation we just had on that wiki as sort of a homework assignment for next time, so that we can sort of start from where we are now rather than starting from zero again. Because I agree, Greg, that I thought today's conversation was very good, and it would be neat to have it summarized.
Marika, once the transcript comes out, would it be possible for you to pull out the relevant sections?
Yeah, no problem.
Skeleton, that would be great.
Okay.
Nothing terribly fancy, but we want to get those get the skeleton of that conversation and the major issues down on paper so we can continue to go through them. So if you would be able to do that in the next 2 weeks, that would be greatly appreciated. Okay, awesome. So that was, I think, a very directed and very rich discussion. So thank you for your thoughtfulness. We'll continue it next meeting. We have a few action items I've noted, so I'll send those up to the list. And our next meeting would therefore be Monday the 14th, is that correct? September 14th.
Yeah, that's what I've got, Mikey, here.
Okay. By incredible coincidence, I will be at the German Anti-Spam Summit that day in Frankfurt. So I will check my availability to join into the call that day. If there's a problem where I'm not able to get in, I kindly ask if Mikey would mind filling in for me if I'm not able to fulfill my duties that day. Would that be okay, Mikey?
Yeah, that's fine. I can do that.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Okay. I guess that's it for today. Thanks so much again for the rich discussion, and we'll talk again in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Great call.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.